Hello again, everybody, and welcome to episode number 2 of Making Waves here.
Swish, splash, making waves.
There you go. Dennis Rom, Steve Bykwist on Lake Chelan now. And we're glad to have you with us once again. And Steve, I'd like to start out first off by saying thank you to all the kind people that were gracious enough to various ways of doing so, either online comments from Facebook or on the website or in person, or occasionally a phone call, giving us a little pat on the back and saying it was great to hear these two old codgers back on the airways.
Yeah, it's I was stopped many times over the past few days with positive comments in the main from folks, and appreciate it. Thank you.
We won't share the ones that weren't, right? And we do want to remind you once again that we would love to hear from you on content ideas. You know, we are pretty well versed sometimes in what's happening here in the Lake Chelan Valley, or we can stretch our imaginations and come up with a, I hesitate to say it, but a made-up topic. But
it's plausible.
It's plausible. But if you are out there and you have something you would like us to tackle on this program, or maybe a person you'd like to hear interviewed with us, let us know. And it's pretty simple. Just email to info@lakechelannow.com. That's info@lakechelannow.com, and you can put in the subject line, if you so choose, Making Waves or Steve or Dennis or whatever, and give us a heads up on an idea, and we would love to carry it out.
New word, implausible.
Implausible.
Yeah, plausible. Don't you? Okay. Here we go. Mixed waves.
It's like strategery, right?
Mm.
There you go. All right. Anyway, Steve, a lot to talk about on the program today. I'm looking forward to it. I just wanted to give you this quote and see if you could chew on this one a little bit. And we'll set the scene here for an interview we're going to have a little bit later. And maybe some of our listeners know who this is. But the quote goes like this. You know, I'm blank, 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 and I'm going to show them what it's all about. Let's see if Steve has the answer right after this break.
Somebody that's involved in competition.
Mm-hmm. And boy, did he ever show them. So,
and he has a reconstructive surgery here and there to prove it.
several on that. So, yeah, the suspense is over. That's Airborne Eddie Ferguson, and he was just this past weekend inducted into the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Hall of Fame.
Big deal.
That is a very big deal. And he was there for a sit-down dinner of about 650 people, Steve, and congratulations to Airborne Eddie. We'll get into that a little bit later. We'll also be talking affordable housing in our program today with Chelan Mayor Mike Cooney.
Huge issue.
Yes, it is, and a dire need, absolutely. But, Steve, I really want to kind of begin the show today with Steve Bykwist, because you were just recently the guest speaker at the annual meeting of the Lake Chelan Historical Society. So tell us what that was all about.
We had a great time. Had a lot of folks there, and we had an opportunity to talk a little bit about my 50-year broadcast career, broadcast/journalism career. Consider that the cake, I guess, and then the frosting on the cake. The last 4 or 5 years working on the Holden Mine Remediation Project. Very little on, really, on the Holden Project. A lot on the earlier days, broadcast for North Central Broadcasting, Jerry Eisenhardt and myself, here in Chelan, coming to Chelan in 1969-70, which happens to be about 1970 was when the Historical Society was formed, and they got their current building given to them from C. First Bank, courtesy of Jim Lindstrom, the founder of the Historical Society. Before that, that bank, that facility, was the Miner and Merchants Bank, dating back to the mining days in this area. So in a very, the museum is a phenomenal place to visit, but you're visiting a building that is very old, but was donated to the Historical Society by C. First and Jim Lindstrom involved in that. At 1970, which was the year I happened to come to Chelan and become active. It was fun.
I'm sure you wowed them last night, and it was great that you had the opportunity to do that, Steve. Not only because you've been around here for a long time, but even in the years going back that you weren't here, in your career as a broadcaster and a news coverage person, you interviewed so many interesting people over the course of time that date back way prior to your actually arriving on the scene. And I'm guessing you were able to relay some of those snippets of information as well.
Yeah, it was fast moving. It's hard to summarize 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in just 10, 20 minutes. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. We touched on a lot of things, took a lot of questions and comments. It was great. We had enjoyed it.
One thing I'm going to look forward to, we've talked about this, Steve, of maybe doing at a later time, and maybe just a complete program on this, but I wasn't around here, but I hear so many stories of the days when there were dance halls, one on the lakeshore, actually, and I guess one at the Oddfellows Hall.
Pavilion. The IOOF Hall was where Safeway parking lot is. Safeway is where the variety store is. And the Masonic Temple.
Yeah.
The venues here for dances. And Wenatchee was the D&D Roller Bowl.
Well, we're talking dances, though. We're not talking local bands in this case. I mean, we're talking major rock acts at the time that were playing all throughout the state of Washington, and when Pat O'Day was back in his day of being a concert promoter.
Pat O'Day and Associates worked for him.
Uh-huh. And those people came here to Lake Chelan, and there were big dance dues on the lake.
A lot of them. Yeah, they were phenomenal events. Some out of hand, and other ones, yeah.
Well, that's for another day.
Another day.
Looking forward to it.
Don't want to make waves today.
I've been noticing, Steve, that Pat O'Day's been very active. I see a lot of postings on Facebook. I'm a Facebook friend of his, and he's been out and about doing presentations, and he's still very much involved with a lot of the musical groups that he helped to create over the course of the years, if not create, to promote, I should say, is a better word for that. And, of course, he was a guy that brought Jimi Hendrix back to Seattle, his hometown, and he has great stories about Led Zeppelin and just some of the really iconic, great Hall of Fame rock bands and groups over the course of the years, and he'll be a fun one, I think, to track down sometime and have some conversation.
Merrily Rush and the Turnabouts.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Merrily several times, and including here in Chelan. She played out at Chelan Cellars.
Yep.
That was kind of a fun event. So there you go. A little bit of a historical look back, and congratulations, Steve, on your being able to address the folks at the annual meeting of the Historical Society. I know that was certainly fun for you. All right, we promised you that we were going to have a little time here to talk about a recent inductee into the U.S. Ski and Snowboarding Hall of Fame, that being Chelan realtor Eddie Ferguson. Eddie's the guy, Steve, that many people don't even know about his background. In 1973, he was the world champion. Matter of fact, he was in so early on this acrobatic edge of your skis, fly down the mountain kind of stuff that he was one of the creators. They called it hot dogging.
Right.
And it later morphed into freestyle, which is what it is known as now. But he's got some great stories. We're going to hear from Eddie a little bit about his background, about some of his good runs, about a run or two that maybe didn't end up so well.
And impending surgeries.
Yes, indeed. But he was
if you get an opportunity to talk to him or run into him and meet him, ask him about this part of his career, and he'll come to life. Different person.
He absolutely will. And if you missed the story that we put up earlier on LakeChelanNow.com, attached to it is a YouTube video of his run in 1973 when he had a perfect score of 60. And I'm telling you, Steve, I watched that, and it's just, he is so out of control. And one time it looks like he literally went down on his back, but he just kept everything going and popped right up and finished the run. And it was pretty amazing stuff.
It is amazing. And well beyond, yes, well beyond. How's that?
So congratulations to Eddie Ferguson, officially inducted in Squaw Valley this past weekend into the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Hall of Fame. And now let's give a listen to Airborne Eddie.
That's very, very special. I'm very humbled and very, very honored to be included into the United States Ski and Snowboard Hall of Fame. It's a big, big deal.
Tell me about, as you reflect back, was there ever any time that you did something just so crazy you almost surprised yourself, but it came out good?
Yeah, there was a couple of runs. One of them was a very famous run that I had down in Lukma in Vail, Colorado in 1973. It was back in those days, there were five judges. Each of them had 20 points. They threw out the high and the low and added the three in the middle. The first run, I got a 57, which was pretty close to perfect. And they reversed ordered for the second round. So they eliminated down to the top 25, got to make a second run. And if you could beat your first run, then that's what counted. Well, everybody went down. Nobody had beat my first run, so I got to go last. Well, everybody went down, and nobody beat my first run. I didn't have to ski. So I took about 15 steps uphill and jumped into the arena. And you'll see it. It's quite spectacular. And I got a perfect 60. And I believe that's the only time in freestyle history that anybody ever got a perfect score. And that was in 1973.
So, I'm guessing that was not premeditated. That was just kind of on the spur of the moment.
That was on the spur of the moment. I just went, what? You know, I'm not going to walk off the slope. You know, I'm Airborne Eddie Ferguson. I'm going to show them what it's all about. And when you see the run, you'll get quite a kick out of it, Dennis.
How about any kind of run maybe that the results weren't so good? End up with any significant injuries in doing this?
Yes. I broke my back two different times. One of them, I broke my back jumping off the roof of my new ski shop in Boise, Idaho. I ended up in the hospital with a total reconstructed knee and in 1976, I believe. And it worked for a while. In fact, it still works. It doesn't hurt that bad, but it'll tell me when the weather changes.
When did you last competitive ski?
1979. I retired in 79. I was seated fourth overall in the world, and it was time to get out. The guys were doing so many tricks that I couldn't master, and I was a little too old to start learning them. And it was quite dangerous. So I just said, okay, I'm going to get out while the getting's good.
What about now? Do you still ski?
Oh, yeah, still ski. Still ski. Went up to Mission a number of times this year already.
Still doing any tricky stuff?
I turn left after I turn right. That's about it. But I ski fast, and I ski for my pleasure. I don't jump anymore. I avoid the moguls like the plague.
I know you were competitive as a skier in your teen years. What age did you actually get going as a skier, maybe just learning the ropes, and when did you then start competing?
Well, I started skiing when I was probably about 4 years old. Dad had tow us around behind this old Mercury in the subdivision with Army-Navy surplus skis and stuff. And so if you count that, but I was really more like 7 or 8 when I started. Bogus Basin was owned at that time by the city recreation department, and that's out of Boise, Idaho. And we would boot pack and shrub and go cut the bushes down so we'd get a free ski pass. And that led into when I was 14, I started teaching skiing, because that was another free ski pass. And, you know, Dad was a concrete truck driver. Mom had 4 kids. So we couldn't really have all the ski passes. But I figured out a way to get it and became fully certified at 16 years old, which was the youngest in America. And by the time freestyle skiing came around, I was about, you know, I'm around 19, 20 years old. And I had all the basics because of my ski instruction background. So let's see who can ski the best. And that's kind of, I had that desire to be king of the mountain. That's what I had, and I ended up being king of the mountain quite a few years.
What do you think about where the sport has gone now?
It's evolved into so many different directions, and it has so many different moving parts now. The mogul skiing is quite different than it was when I was one of the innovators of it. The aerial acrobatics are just absolutely insane. I can't watch it in full speed and count the circles that these guys do, the spins and the flips. It just goes too fast. The cool stuff is now the slope side stuff and the stuff they do on the prepped runs and some of the snowboarding stuff that they're doing now. Just amazing. I watch every second of the Olympics. Every year. I never miss. So it's still very exciting for me, although the sport has evolved.
Is part of that evolvement due to advancement in equipment?
Yes. I think one of the main reasons it's evolved is they want everybody to do the same thing. So it's easier to judge. So they build moguls. The moguls are actually built to specifications, if you can imagine that. I couldn't ski them, no way, because they're just okay. Well, here's it. You put a mogul here. The jumps are the same in Lactantin, France, as they are in Vail, Colorado, because they have templates. They build them exactly to specifications, and that's the Olympics for you, because they have to have that for safety, and they have to have that for consistency in judging. And it's quite different than it was when I first started it.
And do they still call you Eddie, or is it Ed nowadays?
Well, it depends on who's talking to me. You know, most of the people that want me to do business for them, it's Ed. But most of my friends call me Eddie.
Airborne Eddie Ferguson of Chelan, new inductee into the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Hall of Fame this past weekend. Congratulations to Eddie. And, of course, Eddie is a name he goes by in many circles, especially with friends, as he indicated with some of his business acquaintances, because he is in a real estate business. They may refer to him as Ed, but I think most people here around the Lake Chelan Valley, Steve, it's still Eddie, and maybe even Airborne Eddie.
Airborne Eddie.
There you go. Fascinating story there. All right, we're going to take a quick pause, and then we will be coming back. And in our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about a topic that is a hot-button topic here in the Lake Chelan Valley, not just in Chelan, but in Manson and some of the other surrounding communities, even in the city of Wenatchee. And it has to do with affordable housing.
Now that's making waves.
It is. Next here on Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com. And we welcome you back here to Making Waves on Lake Chelan Now. Dennis Rahm, along with Steve Bykwist. And Steve, we mentioned we were going to talk about a topic that's very much the buzz around the community. It has to do with affordable housing. And affordable housing, Steve, one of those things where many people think, okay, that means that you want to have some housing that maybe first-time buyers can afford to get into. But it's way beyond that, because it's the rental pool as well.
We export our finest commodity, which is our youth, and oftentimes they would like to come back. We have trouble community-wide, area-wide, region-wide, with the ability to house those folks coming back, first-time buyers wanting to rent, folks wanting to come and be a part of the labor pool in the summertime during our busy summer season. The list goes on and on. When it comes to the affordability of living here. On top of that, taxation, the way it is these days, simply taxing people out of their homes, having to do something else somewhere else because they can't afford the property taxes. And I've seen that, and that really breaks my heart. I've seen that often, more often than I'd like to admit. People having at older people generally having to leave the area simply because of property taxes.
Yeah, there's so many issues. Really, the only way I think you're going to make any kind of a dent into the problem, Steve, is to have significant dialogue about it. And that means sit down with officials, residents, the people who maybe are already secure in their homes, along with people that are looking for a way to get a foot in the door. It isn't just young people that are, you know, working maybe at the restaurants or the bars or seasonal work here. That is not the only group that's in need of housing right now, because the hospitals, the school districts, they're all having difficulty getting people to come here because of the lack of housing.
Been tough to recruit doctors to this community because of the housing issue. And generally, one would consider a doctor moving to the community would be able to afford the community that he's or she are looking, you know, to practice, to live in. Can't. Hard. It's been really hard.
It has. And there's no easy solution. We're not going to be able to provide an easy solution here today to it. But the good thing is someone's talking about it. Yeah, there's talk about it. There's been a group that's been around for a long time that has actually built homes in the valley. That's Habitat for Humanity. There's talk of putting other organizations together that will be focused solely on building affordable housing. There's a local realtor who's talking about maybe bringing in an apartment complex in the Walmart area of a couple of hundred units. That dialogue is ongoing right now. We had a feature story here on Lake Chelan Now with Chelan Fruit about a seasonal housing project that they'll break ground on, Steve, this summer. And it'll be 10 stick-built units, each one that will house 16 workers. They're very nice. Got to tour one of those. And so that's a step in the right direction. But there's a lot more that needs to be done. It isn't as easy as just building something.
We have industry in agriculture and tourism, both labor-intensive. We have nowhere to house that workforce.
That is true. And even though the city of Chelan has embarked on these series of town hall meetings, the most recent meeting this week, focusing, Steve, on water quality, and that's certainly an important issue here in the Lake Chelan Valley. And Mayor Mike Cooney initiated these town hall meetings back in January was the first one. That particular one was on affordable housing. It'll take a little while now to dissect all the information that came out of this recent water quality meeting. They'll go through and look at the feedback and see maybe what direction they might head from there. They have, however, Steve, had time to take a look at the data, the comments and whatnot. They've had some follow-up meetings from that first round of the town hall meeting in January on affordable housing. And we had a chance to sit down with Mayor Mike Cooney and talk about that particular meeting and what information maybe they have ascertained up to this point and what might be ahead.
Well, I'll use affordable housing. We had the open house. It was clear to the city staff and to council members that affordable housing is a high priority of people. With over 100 people showing up at the senior center, 100 people showing up for anything, any subject in Chelan speaks volumes. And so then what happens is the staff will then put together certain bullet points for the city council to review. We'll hold a workshop on it. We'll see what can come out of that. And we're moving forward with certain things as far as if we use the affordable housing workshop as an example, the town hall as an example, was followed up by a workshop. And now we're moving towards tweaking the zoning and tweaking certain things that as far as how we want to see people be able to stay in their homes that they have, that they don't get taxed out of their homes. That people are able to get into a first home or a first apartment either way. So some tangible things are coming forward. People are talking to us about land donations. So far, we haven't heard the capital donation, which I'd like to put a plea out for. But we're starting a land trust. The city has hired a consultant, Julie Bruner, who will be here next week conducting a bunch of meetings, outreach meetings, and then do a housing assessment for our town and see what we need as far as filling that gap in. So it goes from town hall meeting, general discussion, down to more specific city level, and then what do we do after that? So hopefully we'll start seeing some real projects come out of it, and we can all look back to January 16th, 2018 as the town hall meeting. Of course, it's been talked about for a long time, and I just felt as mayor, instead of talking, we start doing. Dennis, there are so many rocks that have been turned over on this affordable housing. I'm really proud of the work that people are doing and in our community as far as getting it done and making sure this is not a thing of charity for people. It's not a charitable exercise. It's really just to be able to, for people like your daughters, if they want to move back to Chelan and be able to buy a house at a regular rate, you know. So that's, I just hear so many things get talked about over and over for years, and I just like to get them done while I'm mayor, or get work with council to get them done.
And it's really almost two-pronged, isn't it? I mean, you've got one element that's maybe first-time home buyers. You've also got an element of available apartments or houses to rent.
Right, and or the unavailability of those, and then the prices go up, and then people have to move out, and we see too many people leaving our valley. We see, I just saw the numbers from the Manson School District, the number of people, the families that have left, the number of families that have left the Chelan School District this year. Those are telltale signs that Steve Klein, John Olson, Friends of the Lake, have a saying that they've done work on affordable housing. I really applaud them. They have a term, the missing middle, and I can't say it any better than that. It's the middle of our town that could be hollowed out and gone, and we'll have a really nice place for people to come and vacation. But I don't think that's what people want in Chelan. I think people want to keep Chelan real.
Our thanks to Chelan Mayor Mike Cooney for taking some time to visit on the topic of affordable housing. Steve, we want to remind folks that they can put this on their calendar. There is going to be another community-wide discussion called Chelan Affordable Housing. It is scheduled for Wednesday, April the 25th, 6 o'clock in the evening at the Vogue. There will be snacks provided and some beverages. It is sponsored by the City of Chelan, the Chelan Valley Hope, and also by the Vogue. So mark it down, Chelan Affordable Housing Community-Wide Discussion, Wednesday, April 25th at 6 p.m. A good place to go maybe get some answers, or if not, at least provide input.
Encouraging to hear that there is some consideration of some zoning changes, some tweaking in those areas that may allow affordable housing. It may pave the way for affordable housing here and there in the community. Sometimes the bureaucracy can't get out of its own way, my opinion.
All right. Well, that's going to put a capper on another Making Waves, and the time certainly went quickly, Steve. But before we say goodbye, we want to mention a few things that are coming up here.
Got a cleanup.
Yes, we do. Friday, Citywide Cleanup Day, and that transitions nicely into an always fun event, the annual Earth Day celebration at Riverwalk Park. 29th annual, can you believe it already? Celebration of that this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Riverwalk Park.
That's an ongoing spectacular event. Get it out of the way in the morning so you can go fishing in the afternoon, because we got a fishing event.
Yes, we do. It's the Weekend Fishing Derby, something catchy, the Kokanee Fishing Derby. We talked about that in our first episode of Making Waves, and that is being held this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. They are basing out of Sunset Marina there, and the Kokanee fishing has been good, so I guess we're going to see a lot of those bright, shiny Kokanee.
And the weather looks to be cooperating. I'm making waves.
Well, let's cross our fingers for that. I tell you, the weather's been kind of a bleak topic of late, which we didn't touch on today. Also, Steve,
it's depressing.
For those that maybe don't want to get on the water and fish, I know there's a lot of people that like to bend the elbow and sample some of the outstanding wines that are produced here in the Lake Chelan Valley. It is weekend one of back-to-back weekends of the Lake Chelan Spring Release Celebration, and they'll be celebrating the white and rosé wines that are made here in the Lake Chelan Valley.
That is this weekend as well.
So a lot going on, and we hope you get out and about and enjoy some of the many activities that are available to you here in a wonderful place to live and visit, the Lake Chelan Valley. Steve, pleasure as always. We'll catch you next week.
When we're going to make waves again.
That'll do it for us today. Dennis Rom, Steve Bykewist here on episode number 2 of Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com. So long.